Livewire with Jason Moyle.
Hello, my name is Jason Moyle. This is Livewire, and I'm very pleased to say that joining us on Livewire today, we have singer-songwriter Marty Pello. Hello, Marty.
Hello, thank you very much for having me.
That's okay. And right, we're going to talk about your brand new album, which is out now, which is called Stargazer, and it's out on BMG. And it's a kind of a labour of love for you, isn't it? You've done about 12 albums altogether. Tell us a bit about the album.
Yeah, I think I've been really quite prolific as a solo artist, you know, over the years. And, it's something that this new album was no really, it was a little bit different for me because, you know, I did most of the writing on guitar, which made me think differently and interact with my writing process in a different way, which I found hugely exciting because I usually write on the piano, and by lifting up the guitar, I'm not the best guitarist in the world or whatever, but it makes me play a certain way, and that kind of dictated the feel of the album. And I had been listening to a lot of the Kinks and early David Bowie and early Roxy music and, you know, songs of that ilk and in that era of music. And that seemed to reflect on the way that I played the guitar and the way I set up these songs. So it was an interesting process for me, and I used a completely different band that I'd never worked with before as well, and they brought their imagination and to the table, which was just, it was a great experience for me.
I better say, every song has got a story behind it. It's very much a storytelling album, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, as a singer-songwriter, you know, it's great to be able to set these songs, with a powerful backdrop. And, you know, because I've been so inspired earlier on in my career by people like Jackson Browne and Joni Mitchell and James Taylor, where, you know, you've got that singer-songwriter and there's a thread that goes through there with the song and the lyric, you know, which is very important.
And the song New York Angel, which is on the album, is very much influenced by David Bowie.
Yeah, that whole genre, you know, I was always quite fascinated by, well, not just David Bowie, but that whole time that the Andy Warhol scene in New York and the whole way that Bowie interacted with that. And I always had that line in my head, you know, freaks were born to rule the world. And I think that, you know, the many guises of Bowie always fascinated me too. And I liked that whole scene with that image of all these people going to these kind of nightclubs in the early 70s, late 70s, you know, from like Lou Reed, Bowie, Andy Warhol. It just seems to be such an artistic time and a wonderful time. And I wanted to tip my hat to that whole feeling that New York was, a complete melting pot of many different arts and genres.
And it's a real mix of ballads and more rockier tracks as well, like Teenage Rebel is a more rockier track. There's a real mixed bag in that. And Stargazer is very much a sing-along hit as well. It's an inspirational hit.
Oh, well, you know, that was, once again, these simple little songs. You know, I remember waking up one morning and I just had that melody just running about my head. And it was one of those moments where you run to the phone and you're thinking, pressing, you know, let me get that down in some sort of shape. And so that was a pleasant surprise to me. And that was kind of inspired by the Kinks and the Beach Boys and a little bit of the Beatles, you know, those things that I listened to a lot in my early years as a songwriter, you know, to be inspired by. And I'd like to think a little bit that lives in that song.
So this is, as I said, an album, but it's also a double CD, vinyl. There's loads of different ways people can buy it in different packages. So it's very much an experience, isn't it, rather than just one album.
Yeah, I think it was poor. You know, it's a double album as well, you know, and I think it's important that, you know, in the deluxe version, you get to see the songs in their infancy. So I put some cuts that didn't make the album, but I was still extremely very proud of. And you know, I wanted to show the growth of the song from its infancy, because it always fascinates me when you hear like maybe the demo of a song and then you see it going on its journey when it's got its best clothes on, for the want of a better phrase, and you see it arranged by you know, the arrangers that came on board on this particular album. David Campbell was the arranger on it, and the way he structured the arrangements with the strings and the horns, I think, are just wonderful. And you see that journey of growth in the song. And I think as a fan, it's nice to be able to to show the songs. I mean, the songs didn't change drastically from the demos, but, you know, they've just got the best foot forward, you know.
So when you put this project together, how long in the making has it been, really, for you?
Well, before lockdown, it was pretty much, I was done in a couple of sessions, you know, where we all went to a residential studio, and I'm a great believer that we all live together, eat together, and then record the music at night time, which is a byproduct. And so most of the day, we would just sit shooting the breeze and talking about how we'd attack this song, or how we could skin it in a different way, and just playing with it and introducing the musicians to the song rather than just, you know, having hired musicians who don't really invest their imagination in the song. It's just songs that are playing from a chord sheet. And I didn't want that. I cherry-picked the musicians to play on this album who I loved their imaginations and would bring something that would take the songs to another level.
And, of course, the new single also out now, These Are The Days, has a really good cinematic video to it as well. So it's just to talk through the video as well, because it's quite a powerful video.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, when we made the video, I wanted to have a little bit of Clyde Bank involved in it, you know, and I managed to find some footage that was put together by a gentleman called Owen McGuigan from my hometown of Clyde Bank, who captured little images of my hometown, and I wanted those to be in the video. So it was kind of important for me that I lived inside there, because the song was inspired by, at least the opening verse is about me growing up in Clyde Bank, and, you know, the only thing I had to worry about was at that time was that if it was a blue sky or not. And, yeah, you know, it was about me and my friends just running with our dogs, and I wanted to have some images that, you know, that live inside that video. And so it's kind of me looking back, but it's not about yesterday. The song's about tomorrow, you know.
Okay, because there's also a bit where you're sitting in a chair with a fire outside.
Yeah.
So what inspired that? Is that all part of growing up and how you feel about the nostalgia of Clyde Bank?
Yeah, you know, I just think that, you know, some of the images on it, like the cranes that you see in the video, or the is the view that I used to see from my kitchen window. Growing up as a child, you know, peppered with other images of Clyde Bank, you know, and I think it, you know, sitting by the fire was a way for me to, you know, to represent, emulating me, reflecting on what has been, you know, and I think that's why the video has such a lovely feel to it, and it's you know, we shot it in a certain way where we used. It's quite filmic in the lenses that we use, so it has a certain feel. And it was interesting to film it in lockdown, because, you know, most of it was filmed in the centre of London, and well, certainly my parts were. And it was weird. It was a nighttime shoot, so you never saw anybody. The streets of London were completely bare, and it was quite surreal.
And
but it really added to the feel.
And it was around lockdown time, was it, or just after lockdown time?
Yeah, it was during lockdown time, you know. You know, it was interesting to get all the permits. It was all safe, you know. You had to get all the, you know, everybody was, you know, it was an interesting process to be able to do it. But I think that just seeing a major city, you know, at night time when it's completely quiet, you know, and, you know, no one was on the streets, it was quite surreal. But I think that complemented the video.
Okay, and talking about lockdown, you've done lockdown sessions which you filmed in your home studio.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that, because it's been reached by like 12 million of your fans. So it's really amazing.
It was kind of interesting, because, you know, I had been approached by Sam Edmonds' family. Sam Edmonds had caught COVID, and her family had asked if I would sing a little song into my phone for her to, you know, as a you know, to play her, to put a smell in her face, you know, and because she was dealing with the COVID, and it was, you know, it was a tough time for her. And I was delighted to do that. And the response was phenomenal, you know. So I looked at my social media platforms and I said, can you sing another song? Would you like to do that? And I thought, well, you know what? It's just me jumping into my spare bedroom and singing a wee song. It's very easy for me to do that. And, you know, so I kind of factored that into my day. Every two or three days, I'd come in and shoot the breeze with my mobile phone or on Facebook and other social media platforms, and it just seemed to be, you know, millions of people came on board and had a listen and commented, and ask me questions. And it was a great release for me too, and a great way to keep in touch with people who enjoy me as an artist.
Yeah, it's a great way of keeping in touch with people when, during lockdown. And obviously, now hopefully lockdown is easing and we're moving out of lockdown situations. The plan to take the album out on the road at some point?
Yeah, that's, you know, that's something that I would enjoy to do, you know, that's to go out on the road and, you know, be able to play play some songs from it. Because I think it's something that I really do enjoy, and I think this album would live well in that environment, you know, because it is quite... It's quite simple, you know, and it'll work well in that live environment. And, you know, and I think it's when it's safe to do so, and the garden gate can be opened, I'll be out there. I'll be first out there and loving it and very much looking forward to singing all songs, old songs, new songs, and all the songs, you know, that people are familiar with me, as well as doing a little bit of educating with the new songs, you know.
Okay. And talking about the songs that people remember you from the past, we'll go back to the Wet, Wet, Wet days where you had Love Is All Around. That must have been an amazing experience to have 15 weeks at number one and be involved in such a big film.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I still have fond memories of that. You know, but I remember at the time there was a couple of years where you would have really huge songs that were, you know, associated with movies. You know, the Whitney Houston song, the Bryan Adams song, and you know, the Wet 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 song were big, long-standing number ones for you know, for multiple of months, which was a fantastic thing to have, you know, and be associated with such a wonderful film like Four Weddings and a Funeral. A very special time in my life, and a very special time for Wet, Wet, Wet. And, you know, I still play that song today, and I think it's important. It's kind of a big part of my success that afforded me the luxury to be able to continue to make records and be able to even have a conversation with you today, you know. So I'm very much indebted to the, you know, my Wet, Wet, Wet back catalogue. Not just that, songs like Goodnight Girl and Angel Eyes and all these wonderful songs that I wrote in my early teenage years, you know, with the rest of the guys in the band. It was a very special time.
Yeah. And so moving forward now, obviously, with your new album, and will there be, obviously you're going to be promoting this album and going out with this album, but have you got other songs that you've written and you think, right, we're going to start on the next project soon?
Well, yeah, I think that, you know, as a songwriter, I am anyway, certainly writing and trying different, being inspired by writing with different artists and or different songwriters, because I think if it's just me, myself, looking at the computer screen with a guitar slung around my neck, it gets a little bit tedious. And I like to, you know, the good thing about lockdown for me is being able to, you know, write with people on like Zoom and Skype and all these things, and using these tools. I find it hugely inspiring that you can still do your writing. I'm working on a musical at the moment, and it's been great for me from the point of view that I can go and write, you know, with someone in Los Angeles, and they're, you know, there's X amount of hours different, but we're all singing from the same hymn sheet through this gift of Zoom or whatever, you know. So, you know, I've kept extremely prolific from a writing point of view, and I think that's great.
So what's the musical about? Are you allowed to say, or...?
Oh, yeah, very much so. You know, it was inspired by my home country. I always looked across the pond to be inspired by music. You know, I listened to a lot of R&B and a lot of soul records. And I just took for granted what the rich heritage that was on my doorstep growing up as a child, listening to a lot of Celtic music, a lot of traditional music. And having spent multiple years in musical theatre, I thought I wanted to write my own musical. So I started that a couple of years ago, writing with Jack Bradley and Sean McKenna, who did a lot of the lyrics for the Lord of the Rings musical. And we came together and started writing this musical, which is inspired by Scotland, you know, and those little folk stories that my grandfather used to put the fear of God into me when I'd sit on his knee with his big bonfire face, and he would tell me about these stories. And so I wanted to write something that embraced my culture. And it's set in Scotland.
And when can we expect that to hit the airwaves?
Oh, well, just before the lockdown started, you know, I was just doing workshops with it, you know, so I was getting up on his feet, and the actors were coming in and making the characters grow. And what that did was show me where it wasn't working. So I'm still chipping away at it.
Okay.
And when it comes, I'm sure it'll be, you know, over the next couple of years.
Okay, so how can people find out more about you, Marty? You've obviously got a website, and you're also active on YouTube and Facebook and things like that.
Yeah, all the usual suspects. I'm floating about there from Instagram to to Twitter, and using all social media platforms. And I think that's that's something that I've thoroughly enjoyed doing. You know, is that there's one thing I've learned through lockdown is how powerful and what a great tool these social media platforms are for not only raising awareness about your music, but to connect in other various ways with your fan base. Wonderful.
Brilliant. Well, it's been great talking to you. Would you like to introduce your single from your album Stargazer?
Yes, please. Here's my new single, These Are The Days, from my stunning new album, Stargazer. I hope you enjoy it.
No one ever thought that the day would end. A million days of summer with long lost friends. Every song we sang was like freedom in our hands. And no one ever thought that we'd ever change. 20,000 dreams falling off the page. Feeling so on fire, we could walk through flames. So we rolled like thunder, blue jean legends, and we rolled like we'd invade a Saturday night. These are the days. The dogs as we sold the sun. Faces in the mirror with all the scars we've won. No one ever thinks that they found their dreams. I stand and look at you and I know it's real. You're my Hollywood, you're my worldwide number one.
LiveWire is produced by Steve Osborne Media. Steve Osborne Media.